What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Multiverse Monologues, the podcast show where we like to travel across the multiverses and fandoms that we love to talk about the movies and television shows that accompany those universes. Welcome back to the Star Wars Movie Marathon. I am your co-host, Ben Rayside, and today we have the great privilege of bringing you the ranking, reviewing, and discussion of Star Wars Episode 2, The Attack of the Clones. Last week we did Phantom Menace. We dived into George Lucas's prequel trilogy, which was very divisive at the time, but I would say that we were generally, as a whole, more on the positive side than the negative. It was the least of the first four core films, but still was a good time to watch and definitely to review, because I'm talking with you. But now we're talking about Attack of the Clones. 3 years later, released in 2002 in May, if you didn't like Phantom Menace, you really didn't like Attack of the Clones. Mm. The critical reception of this was not great. No one really liked it. And even though they knew what they were getting into with George Lucas's Star Wars trilogy, they really hadn't experienced many things to this level, whether that be the clunky dialogue, even more so this time around, or a very budding romance that took a very main focus in Attack of the Clones. There's a lot to this, and this is probably, when you look at Star Wars rankings, this ends up on the bottom. This ends up on the bottom of a lot of people's Star Wars lists. But almost 25 years later, we are here to talk about it. It's been 22 years since Attack of the Clones. It's 2024, guys. And I'm excited to dive into this, and I know a couple of other guys who are excited to dive into this this one as well. And first off, his name is Mr. Ethan Wensloff. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. We have Kenobi in a mullet. We have romance. We have the introduction of the clones. And to podcast on this movie, well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to do this.
Why I'm here. Yes. Nice one, Ethan. Also joining us, as always, is Mr. Micah Hatt. Micah, how are you?
Doing well. You know, we got 200,000 reviews behind us, and we got a million more on the way.
A million more well on the way. Nice, nice. I'm very excited to talk about it. But, you know, let's not mince words, gentlemen. Let's hit the hyperdrive and head over to the Star Wars galaxy.
I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere. Not like here. Here everything is soft and smooth.
There is unrest in the Galactic Senate. Several thousand solar systems have declared their intentions to leave the Republic. This separatist movement, under the leadership of the mysterious Count Dooku, has made it difficult for the limited number of Jedi Knights to maintain peace and order in the galaxy. Senator Amidala, the former Queen of Naboo, is returning to the Galactic Senate to vote on the critical issue of creating an army of the Republic to assist the overwhelmed Jedi. And that, folks, is where we find ourselves at the beginning of Attack of the Clones. That
That's
is
crazy.
Your...
They name drop Count Dooku in the opening crawl.
Who the heck is Count Dooku?
With a big vote coming up, we have to hope that, Senator Amidala stays safe.
You know? Absolutely.
I'm worried for her.
And then this Army of the Republic that she talks about, you know, what's going on here? Is this the clones? You know, many things to think about. And I mean, this is probably, I'm not going to mince words here. This is probably the most lore building, lore dump, like lore heavy Star Wars movie that is out there.
Yes.
So much.
I don't disagree with you there. Yeah.
Is packed into this movie, and for better or worse. But a lot of people have a lot to say about this movie. But that's why we're here, all right? Because we haven't said what we have to say about this movie. And I'm really interested because...
And our opinion is the only one that matters.
Yeah, we're the definitive internet opinion, collectively.
Exactly.
Maybe one of us more than the other.
It's
the one with the most Letterboxd followers, guys. Come on.
Facts, bro. Well, if we committed the time that you do to Letterboxd, maybe we would be there, too.
No, Mike is just too good, man. He's just too
good. That's what I'm saying.
But I really want to know what you guys think, because even in like just regular conversation, like just getting to know you guys,
I would say Attack of the Clones is probably the film we talk about the least. And it's really the film that a lot of people talk about the least, because it's like the stepchild of the Star Wars original saga. Like, this, no one really talks about this movie anymore because there's a lot to it. And maybe there's a reason for it, and we're going to talk about it. But first of all, I want to shoot this over to Ethan. How was your experience now? But before you answer that, I want to know what your relationship with this movie is in the past.
Yeah, relationship with this growing up was the same that it was with all these prequels. Is I was very intrigued by them, but I'd never watched them. I had played through the complete saga, the Lego video game. So I knew, okay, these are the key moments. Like, okay, because you get cutscenes in there. You get all the essential. That's like the quip notes, or what do they call them?
Spark notes.
Spark notes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spark notes. I got those. So,
but no dialogue.
Right. No dialogue, which, you know, maybe does this movie a service.
Ouch.
We'll see.
Dang.
But I remember the first time watching this movie, I think I was like 12. My cousins, shout out to the Darges, they came over and they brought their DVD. Actually, this version right here that's in front of us, they brought that to my house and we had watched half of it that night, and then we went to bed, and then we woke up, finished the rest of it, and I remember going, that was about how it felt playing through the game, you know? Didn't think much of it, but how I'd say my relationship with it now is it's definitely changed a ton. This watch was my first time watching this since visiting all the animation. So my first time watching this since watching all the Clone Wars, since watching Bad Batch, since watching Rebels. So I say I have a lot more to say about this movie. I think, as Ben said, it is very lore heavy. But I don't know how well that lore is dumped. Like, is it interesting? Super interesting. I like a lot of the elements this movie brings to the Star Wars universe. Like, as a platter, it brings a lot to you. But I don't know if it is presented in the most appetizing way. So I'm excited to talk about
Kind of like episode 4. I'm going to go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
Well, I would say...
I would not compare this to episode 4.
I would.
No, I...
If in that sense.
Interesting. You would,
Mike. In that sense, sure. Why not?
No, this is a lot more... less interesting, I'll say that. But I watch this movie with my brother Marcus and my dad on Disney Plus. So this was a pleasure to revisit. I wouldn't say I love this movie. I definitely don't love this movie. I definitely don't really think I even like this movie, but I am excited to talk about it. That's where I fall on it.
If there's anything that this marathon is teaching me, even more than I would say the Marvel marathon, is that, like, because there's so much to say on each film, because each film is such an event, like, this isn't an Elektra. This isn't Blade 2.
It's no Ghost Rider, like, Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah. Right. There is so much.
About Blade 2 was a good movie, Ben.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I just, like, when we go into it, it's just, oh man, I've never heard anyone talk about this movie. I've heard so many people talk about this movie. So it's like, what do we, you know, how do we feel about this time? So, not super hot on it still to this day, Ethan.
Yeah,
would you
say?
No. Okay. All right. Mr. Het. You famously have this as your bottom.
That's
this is what it was now. But where does Attack of the Clones find you in 2024?
So growing up, I watched all of them. Same as everybody else, right? I watched it was one of the Star Wars movies. That was just how it was growing up. There was the cool Count Dooku Yoda fight at the end. There was some cool Obi-Wan Anakin versus Count Dooku, which was really cool. But was it as cool as watching Phantom Menace or Revenge of the Sith or some of the original trilogy? I don't know. For a kid, I don't know. I don't think I put this one on as much as I put on the other ones. Phantom Menace, definitely I put on a lot. Revenge of the Sith, I put on a lot. But most of the time, I was just playing the Lego games. And I remember not liking the Geonosis levels.
Okay, the level in the droid factory, though.
The droid factory, well...
That was a good level.
I don't like how they keep bombarding you with Geonosians the time.
That's my least favorite one.
It's my least favorite one, just because they keep...
The conveyors and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that one...
It's funny, though. George Lucas based that scene off of some video game that he saw.
Oh, yeah. And it feels like.
It feels very video game focused.
Like side to side, you're scrolling like a Super Mario Bros. You're going through. You got to dodge the closing. I don't know. It feels like a video game. You're right.
But yeah, growing up, I remember there were some cool aspects to this. I remember distinctly the Coruscant flying around on the, you know, Obi-Wan hanging off the thing and then jumping off and then into the speeder. And
Star Wars does a Blade Runner impression.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's a very mishmash movie of a lot of different things that are pretty solid to a kid. But there were also very long patches where I was just like, as a kid, like, because I just didn't care. Like the politics are more in this movie, I feel, than Phantom Menace. And that was kind of how I also felt rewatching in high school. So I rewatched all the Star Wars movies again, probably two times in high school. And both times I thought, so I definitely watched it before The Last Jedi. And I obviously was not very hot on it. I think it was because it was just a lot of boring politics and lore dumping, as Ethan said, where it was just a bunch of, a lot of people talking that I really do not care about. Mm. Now we're here, and I watched it this week on. So I watched the original theatrical reconstruction. It's not like
you did.
It's not a 4K 2002 or whatever. It's just like they have the original cut of the movie, and I have that. So I watched that, and I gotta say, I am very hot on this movie. I like this one. I was very surprised at the way they take the lore and just like present it in such a, all right, it's the Count Dooku scene for me that really solidifies this movie as really good for me. How it's, what, Ethan, you don't like it?
Keep talking, Micah.
I'm not interrupting you. Just keep talking.
He's like, oh, this movie.
No, I
it's
just
so
I
trash.
Thought I would have more fun for, talking about the prequels than I currently am.
And for, I love the I'll get into the specificities later. The Anakin Padme stuff didn't bother me as much as I would have thought. It's very Shakespearean. This is Shakespeare. Like I've read Shakespeare plays. Because senior year came and went, and you had to read Shakespeare for senior year.
Yep.
And that's Shakespeare. He knew what he wanted to do, and he executed it perfectly, Ethan. That's what I got to say.
Executed it perfectly?
All right, the first scene, we'll get into it, but the first scene isn't as strong as the rest of them for Padme, Anakin interactions. And I'm going to save it for the podcast, but I just want to say I am a lot more hot on Attack of the Clones than I have ever been.
I was not expecting this, Micah.
I was very surprised too. I didn't think that I would like this. I didn't think that I would like it as much as I did. And definitely after watching the just trash that we watched in the Marvel movie marathon, some of those earlier films, even the worst of Star Wars is not as bad as
I will say this. I watched this the same night you did. Yes. I just finished it. I opened up my phone, and then I saw a text from you that said, I don't know what I was on the last time I watched this.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was not in for a good time tonight.
Oh, man. Ethan hates having discussions.
No.
I wish we all just agreed on everything.
That's not what I hate. I was excited to...
Ethan... Ethan feels very alienated right now.
I don't.
He was hoping
to
have
alienated.
He was hoping to have an ally on this one, and
this one.
I really thought this was going to be it.
I was just asking for Attack of the Clones, like having an ally for this one, and I don't.
So you're going to be,
you know, I guess Ben abandon it.
I haven't said mine.
You're a prequel hater, like your father before you. That's all.
No. We're gonna talk. We're gonna get deeper into these movies.
All right, Ben. What do you think?
No, I, oh man. And I just generally am a guy who, like, I want everyone around to have a good time, but I don't know if I can bring myself to help Ethan here either.
I'll have a good time.
Because I also am, dude, I had the same experience Micah did.
I was hoping that by saying you hadn't seen Clone Wars since that Or that since you've seen...
Like, this is going to be better.
Yeah, like, oh, watching Clone Wars has enhanced my experience of Attack of the Clones or something.
Watching this has enhanced the experience of watching the Clone Wars for me. That's vice versa.
Okay.
It's the opposite where, like, yeah, there are a lot of cool... I don't want to interrupt Ben's segment.
Go ahead.
There are a lot of cool teases here. Like, you can see what George Lucas is doing is evident. Like, the plan is there. What he's presenting is there. I just think that without all the work that Filoni does in the Clone Wars, is I find this not interesting. Hmm. I think the clone troopers are fantastic, rich characters that bring so much to the Star Wars lore, but they're not present
in Clone Wars, right?
In like this movie the next one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
where all the meat is.
I think the clones are just meant to be just like the stormtroopers were in these two movies. These aren't about the clone troopers and stormtroopers, the original six. And I think that's just something we have to keep in mind is, yeah, it's not the Clone Wars.
Right. It's not. But I also don't know if I like the story that we're given.
Because the main focus of this story is Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala. And honestly, I really feel, along with some other things, that if you don't buy into or at least accept that romance, you are not going to have a good time with this movie.
I think also the Obi-Wan plot is amazing. I love that.
But that's not even a debate. Like that,
okay,
to me, is really, really good.
What?
Obi-Wan plot stuff is good? In Attack of the Clones.
I find it very fun.
Okay, cool.
I like that, yes.
It's Ewan McGregor just trotting around the galaxy on a little detective. You know, he's...
Yeah, that army that I purchased.
It's very... and the Sifo Dyas name drop is very great. I like... Because it's like, oh, I watched Clone Wars. I know who that is now. I know what that story is. So I like all that. But I agree with you, Ben. This movie and the prequels in general hinge on a character.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Anakin. And I'll say it right now that I think the biggest reason I've never loved these prequels is I've never cared about Anakin.
But even now, though, I'd be really interested to see what you thought next week when we talk Revenge.
Yeah,
because I really do agree that Clone Wars does so, like, it's undeniable how much Clone Wars adds to my enjoyment of
the lore and
these movies.
Yeah.
Yes, especially Revenge of the Sith.
For me, it's Clone Wars aside. I like this movie individually.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
For me, I wasn't thinking about Clone Wars during this.
Well, I mean,
at all?
And you don't even, and technically you don't even really have to. You just see what this movie sets up because almost everything in this movie is carried into Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. The bad guys, I mean, each one of them. The season one is literally attacking all those separatist members at that council.
This is my question for you. So there has been a resurgence. Like, people have really come around on these prequel movies. Would the prequels have the same love if the Clone Wars did not exist?
Nope.
Yeah, thank
you.
That's all I needed.
Absolutely not. I don't think so. Because they're so fleshed out, you understand. Like, I was sitting there watching the Dooku scene that you mentioned, and he is talking about this Dark Lord of the Sith who is in control of the Galactic Senate. I didn't know what he was talking about as a kid. I was actually majorly confused as a kid because he was like, "Together, we can destroy the Sith."
And I was like, "Join me.
Wait a minute.
Together.
Is this just like a knockoff Empire Strikes Back scene?" Like, and kind of it is. And then at the end, Count Dooku shows up and he's like, "This is it. The war has started." And he's like, "Excellent, my young apprentice." And they're like, "Wait, but wasn't he asking Obi? I don't understand that." It was so confusing to me as a kid. It's like, even still, to an uneducated viewer, it is so confusing. But when you have all the knowledge that comes with it, every scene is deep, and every single one. The scenes on Kamino, especially, I thought this time around were like absolutely insane. And I will say this, on this rewatch, this is the first time I actually teared up watching Attack of the Freaking Clones, dudes. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Tell your history. Tell us your
like,
history.
When I was a kid, this was actually the prequel that I rewatched the most when I was younger. Revenge of the Sith is like, that's my favorite one. But when I was a kid, I would start this movie right at the chapter point where Mace Windu walks into the Geonosian arena. And I would literally just play that on replay from that point to the end, because from that point on, it skips all the boring romance that I didn't care about as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it is just pure Jedi action.
What is that scene officially called? Because growing up, I called it the Jedi battle.
I never had an official title, but yeah.
Geonosian arena?
Yeah.
The Jedi battle. This is when Mace Windu comes in, and it's the coolest freaking entrance ever. It's like, this party's over. And I loved it as a kid. And even now, like going back to it, it's just a really interesting experience, because I have not seen this movie in particular in three, four years now. It's been a while. I've since seen all the other ones except for this one, not counting the sequels. And going back to it, it truly was a really great experience for me, because you notice so much more. And I also think the ending of this movie is really, like, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, might be one of the best Star Wars finales ever, just because of the scene that comes about. And we're going to talk about that. But I also, like you, Micah, to finish my segment, I had a really good time with this movie. And I am excited to dive into the very first part, which will be Anakin and Padme. Let's talk about that right away, because from the very start, you get a very awkward teenager and a kind of an awkward senator. But I mean, you don't see that because it's Natalie Portman. Mm. And
who rocks many great outfits in this movie. Many iconic outfits. And I think
you see a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these.
Yeah, man.
A lot of shoulders. A
lot of bare back, you know. All I'm saying
is the vet in here, because there was
this
some
was
dogs
our,
barking.
This was our Return of the Jedi Leia? Is that what we're saying? That's what Ben's saying. Yeah.
Listen, come on.
Yeah.
And also, like, this is Anakin Skywalker's Return of the Jedi, Princess Leia, because, like, she's wearing these super exotic outfits,
she's like,
man.
You're not supposed to fall in love with me. And then is in a sexier outfit every scene. And I'm like,
showing you
Anakin,
my cleavage,
cover your eyes.
Like, yeah, right. I know, it's a little, because Sam goes, like, I don't know why this relationship, like, I don't know, Padme's not giving any signs. And I was like, well, I beg to differ, man. Maybe you don't see it because you're not a guy, but I'm totally picking up on some signs that Padme's giving to Anakin right here. You just don't wear those outfits, man.
I mean,
don't.
we knew going into this movie that Anakin would have some major moves, because the first line he ever says to Padme, are you an angel?
Mm-hmm.
So we roll that right into this movie. And I think my favorite line that he says is when he's talking to Obi-Wan, and he says, she covered the camera. I think she doesn't like me watching her.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. All right, Anakin.
For her protection, of course.
And then when he's having nightmares of Shmi, he's like to Obi-Wan, I'd just rather be dreaming of Padme. I'd rather be dreaming of her. And then we have, you know, I just wrote down a bunch of Hayden quotes, because yep. they're hilarious to me. And when he's talking about sand, you know, it's smooth, coarse, and rough. Smooth. But then he's like, but here, and he's like rubbing her arm.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is soft.
Dude.
And smooth.
The Riz.
Smooth like Anakin. And then she says to him, please don't look at me like that. It makes me uncomfortable. And then she says later in the movie, are you going to use a Jedi mind trick on me? Ooh, okay. All right. I don't know. Maybe he is using some Sith powers. And then here's my favorite one. He says, from the moment I met you all those years ago, not a day has gone by when I haven't thought of you. And now that I'm with you again, I'm in agony. The closer I get to you, the worse it gets. The thought of not being with you, I can't breathe. I'm haunted by the kiss that you should have never given me. My heart is beating, hoping that that kiss will not become a scar. You are in my very soul, tormenting me. What can I do? I will do anything that you ask.
That's that Shakespeare, man.
That is
Shakespeare. It's pretty Shakespearean, yeah.
But
that line specifically, though.
That, like, is straight out of, like, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
And, like, Lucas intentionally did that, for better or worse. Now, I will say this, Ethan.
Yes.
It's not good. It's not. I will agree with you on this part.
It's good from like, this is really,
I think it's very stylized.
Fun to watch just because it's, you know, you have Hayden Christensen and then Natalie Portman in a scene together, you know, both, you see the cast photos, they're both beautiful people, but he's delivering like these crazy lines.
Crazy, bro.
It made me laugh. It also made me cringe a little.
It did. Yes. But I think to the point where it's not good, like it makes you cringe, like to an extent, that's the point. That's the point. This guy is not good. He does not have riz, to put it in like, at all.
To put it in Star Wars terms.
He is terrible at flirting. So are you. Grown more beautiful. I mean, and you just feel the like, they even Jar Jar, they pan to him during their like awkward conversation and like fighting between Obi-Wan, and Jar Jar's like, look at this guy, I'm not the biggest idiot on the scene anymore, huh? Like,
he's now the only pathetic life form.
To an extent, you are supposed to feel like this is it's not your The Notebook. This isn't like some epic dialogue,
romance,
you know?
Movie, The Notebook.
I guess that's what I hear. You know, I'm going romance, like Notebook.
Michael, what's
right?
The staple romance movie?
Staple
romance.
I mean, yeah, kind of The Notebook.
Notebook's up there, right?
Yeah,
that's the one that everyone talks about.
That's an acceptable answer,
right? I don't know. It's like it's going for that, like you said, it's going for that stylized, like Shakespearean, like who would ever say this? Like what? No one would say that, but that's what I thought when I read Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, Shakespeare is revered for knowing, like everyone knows, Shakespeare is nonsensical. Like you can't understand it because it's Shakespearean text, right? But people understand that it's romantic in that way. This is Shakespearean times in Star Wars, is what George Lucas was trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I justify it.
For better
and
or worse.
For me, I only cringed for two scenes in this, and it were anything before they stand up in the fireplace scene.
Because
once they stand up, I liked that interaction. I liked where they were. That's when it clicked, and I was like, oh, this is very clearly Shakespeare. It's like straight out of his books. And I loved it. I loved it from then on. Everything they had to say. Because then you can pay attention. You can be like, all right, what are they trying to say beyond the text? What is it? What are they? I liked when they were in the, a lot of people don't like the plains scene when they're out in the middle of the grass and whatever, and they're talking about Anakin basically wanting to be
a dictator.
Yeah. But like, what if everyone got in a room and like voted on everything? Well, that's what we do.
That's actually what we do.
Yeah, that's kind of like, well, why don't they agree on things? Well, because people don't agree on everything. Well, I would just make them agree.
I would
they
make
should
them
be made
agree.
To. Yeah.
Yeah. They should be made to. Yeah. And I like how they put it, actually. I really like how it's written. Because it sounds like a 20-year-old saying this stuff. It's a 20-year-old's perspective of a government from the way that he, from a source of hate.
Yes.
Because he has a lot of hate in him. This is where it's coming from. And it very clearly seems like a 20-year-old Darth Vader. Sorry, but that's just how it feels.
No,
to
you're
me.
Right. I see it.
Yeah.
I absolutely
see totally it. See the through line here.
But so in execution, though, and this is probably the only time you'll hear me say this, the romance in execution. Like, I see what the script says it all. The story, when you look at it from a broad standpoint, like I see where they're going for. This is the turn of Anakin Skywalker. Every moment in this movie furthers his steps towards the dark side. But certain execution points for this, they just don't nail it, man. Like there is a better version of Attack of the Clones out there. I will say that. This is probably like, there are certain points where I'm like, ooh, that's a little rough.
This movie, out of any of these Star Wars movies, feels like a puzzle piece. It feels like these pieces have to fall into place. This movie has to happen to get us where we want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Padme and Anakin had to get together. They had to, because they have to have Luke and Leia. Right? That's already happened. You have to get to that. Now, how are you going to get to that?
Mm-hmm.
is it in a way that works for the story? No. Like, not writing wise, I don't buy that. I don't buy that relationship. I don't.
In what way?
In that
dialogue wise,
other.
Or like,
yeah, it doesn't. I'm not conveyed like these two people love each other. Mm. It's conveyed as childish and awkward, and maybe that's
their
the
children.
Point.
That is the point. That is.
But
the point.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I said, this movie has never gotten me. This whole prequel trilogy has
this
never gotten me.
This is the first time that it's gotten
Anakin.
Me. And that's, I think maybe you just need to watch it 100 more times.
Oh, yeah. Let me turn yeah, it, right. Because I will definitely be watching
I don't know why it clicked so much better for me this time. I have never had Attack of the Clones click for me in the way that it did this last time. Yeah. And
Micah, would you say this is the first time you watched Attack of the Clones while you were in love?
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute,
Micah.
Is that it?
That's what I'm asking.
Ethan,
you.
are you saying you're
Wait
lonely?
A
I'm a hopeless romantic.
Hold on.
I don't know. But it's not just the romance. The romance wasn't the highlight of this movie for me. The highlight of this movie was actually Count Dooku for me, honestly. Nice. And
who doesn't show up till an hour 16 in the
who
movie?
Who doesn't show up till an
but
hour
But he's
16.
In the opening crawl, so.
Yeah, interesting for choice. Some reason. Well, also. Whatever. Rise of Skywalker is different.
Don't go there.
I love speaks. how subtle he is. Because this is the first time where I've watched Attack of the Clones and I was like, all right, Christopher Lee is a good actor. I should pay attention to his performance to see if I'm missing anything. I've never paid attention to his performance before. And from the moment he walks into the interrogation scene with Obi-Wan, you know he has double entendre, like double meanings going on. He's like,
there's more.
Yeah. Why are you here? I have held off the other people from sending you off. And he's like hinting that he's giving him a chance here. Mm-hmm. From the first line, he's like, all right, I'm here to, what is your case? Why are you here? And will you be interested in joining the dark side? That's why he's interrogating. That's why he's given Obi-Wan a second chance. That's why he doesn't just immediately send him to the arena. And that whole scene is Count Dooku talking about how he was Qui-Gon's
master.
And talking about this lineage of, I love how they keep filling in the lineage and how in the final fight, Count Dooku's like, you were my master once, Yoda. And everyone's like, what? I don't know. I just thought that was so cool that they had this in this movie. I never heard that in this movie before.
My thing, though, is saying something good. Like, yeah, that's in this movie, but it brings that to the Star Wars world. Mm-hmm. But, like, we're talking about that platter again.
I liked it.
Is it
I liked
the best
it.
Platter?
Mm.
I liked it.
Because there's no doubt that what this brings to the Star Wars
I
lore
ate the cheese
is huge,
off that charcuterie.
Important, and obviously really smart in a way.
Mm.
But I just think that it isn't given to me in the
I
most
think they presented
way.
It in a very good way, because then it implies, or not just implies, but it shows, all right, there's this lineage. There's Yoda who trained Count Dooku. Why is Count Dooku a Sith? Why did that happen? It proposes so many things. All right, now why did Count Dooku... How is Qui-Gon different now that we know that he was trained by Count Dooku, who was a Sith? All right. So are Qui-Gon's judgments different now, looking back on Phantom Menace, knowing that he was trained by who was going to be a Sith? Are there evil intentions going on when he chose Anakin to be the chosen one? All right. Now, if we watch Phantom Menace again, you can see why there was this debate in the Jedi Council. That adds to Phantom Menace's lore. I love that. And now you have Obi-Wan, who's this true neutral, who's like, all right, I have to be lawful to the Jedi, but my master, he was so influential to me, but he was raised by a Sith. That's so cool to me. And now what is Yoda now? Is Yoda a Sith? Is Yoda a bad teacher? Is Yoda a... Like, I think that's really cool to me.
Mm.
I love how deep this movie goes.
And that's just... That one interrogation scene.
I know. Like, that's what I love about that interrogation scene. That's my favorite scene. I'm stealing it right now, but
seal it, man. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And them just bomb dropping the name of Yoda being Count Dooku's master in the final scene, that's all they need to do, because the rest is already set up in that interrogation scene to me. And that's why it's so good to me.
Well, not just that. It's that he literally tells Obi-Wan, oh yeah, Darth Sidious controls everything.
Straight up just told
him. Just tells him. But he, I think but he knows realizes it. That Obi-Wan is like, there's no way we would know.
We would have felt it. What? He says that.
Yep.
Obi-Wan's like, a Sith in the Senate? We would have felt that. The Force. Right.
It makes the scene really... That's like,
and at the same time, you see Palpatine continuing to manipulate everybody that he needs to manipulate in that in his little office. He's like, if only someone would give out emergency powers, I would do exactly what I need to do to become the Emperor. I mean to
right, yeah,
you know, be the person I need to be for this
very subtle
Empire.
Well, and Palpatine has probably the most limited role that he has in all the six movies, I guess.
Well, like, I mean, from Senator first, he was
more limited role in A New Hope.
Well, in the movies that he's in, anyway, like. He doesn't really have a lot to do here. So that, like, he originally had more.
Yeah, he appears as the Emperor in what? The end scene? Is that it? That is his only appearance in the movie?
Oh,
Sorry. I'm talking like the character, Sheev of Palpatine.
Yeah,
like,
Palpatine. But like he's only cloaked in the end.
Yes.
Whereas in Phantom, mm-hmm. we saw him in different holograms cloaked throughout.
But even like as Palpatine, like he's not in this very much. So they have to use him as sparingly as they can while conveying that, oh, hey, this guy's also going further along in becoming a dictator. But one of the scenes that really stands out to me is when he's talking to Anakin. That one scene, that one interaction. So they've finally given you an assignment. You know, I've said all this time that you should be the one, like that you, and it's very much the devil speaking into like to feed the lies to Anakin. Like this is the like we are seeing it right now, the seducing of Anakin Skywalker to the dark side of the Force. It's pitting, because you have, again, we go back to the Qui-Gon who was supposed to be the father figure, you know, but now the father figure is Palpatine right here. As, even though Anakin says in this movie, I know he says, you're like a father to me. No, that's the brother relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's even more explored in the Clone Wars than this. But even that scene is like, you know, look at these idiot Jedi. Like, you're the best of all of them. Mm-hmm. I foresee you becoming the greatest of all the Jedi. You know, it's like just feeding into this ego. And Anakin,
and it
clearly
shows that it works. Yeah.
He's eating this up. He's like, he even says it to Padme, you know,
there are two or three politicians that I like.
Right. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, in many ways, you know, I'm ahead of even Obi-Wan, my master, you know, but I'm ready for the trials, you know, but he doesn't have anything, like, he won't allow it, you know, it's not fair, you know, and everyone goes to that. Like, it's not a very well-delivered line, I will say this, but it's a moody teenager. They're not given great, like, I really do think Hayden gets a bad rap, even though he does have some lines in this that aren't that good, but I think in certain scenes, especially when he's like raging, it's like this is just a truly troubled soul, like in so many ways.
I didn't feel the cringe as much, and not really at all, and I think progressively Anakin's character gets more real for me, as like exactly what he needs to be.
See, that's where I'm at, actually. Like, as he goes along, and the more, especially after his mom dies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That is the scene I actually teared up. I don't know. Dude, I don't know why. Because I wasn't expecting to. Mm-hmm. But he goes in and he sees her laying there. And I think it might be Hayden's like best acted scene like ever. He goes in. It's like, and it's so much just in his expression. You know, stay with me, mom. Like, you know, everything's going to be... And then he stops and he pauses. Like he can't get out. Like, everything's going to be okay because she's scarred and brutal.
So this is a side note, but yeah, obviously this is Hayden's first, you know, Star Wars movie. There's actually a guy at our church. He helps us set up chairs when the sanctuary gets torn down. But he drove like a valet. He did like a valet service. And he was one of Hayden Christensen's drivers when Hayden was a kid.
Carney?
No, not Carney. His name is John.
Okay.
Yeah. You're kidding.
You guys don't know him, but I thought that was super cool. Super cool fact that he just drove Hayden Christensen around before he was in Star Wars.
What?
Yeah.
Before Star
Wars? That's crazy, yeah, dude.
110%.
I thought he was a nobody in college when before Star Wars.
He did like theater stuff.
Oh, okay. He had a ballet.
Bro, Hayden Christensen was in Goosebumps, bro. TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in Goosebumps.
He was a big deal, man. George Lucas saw that and he was like, that's what I want.
To go back to the Shmi.
Give him Goosebumps.
Scene.
Yes.
I love Shmi's line of where she's like, oh, you look so handsome, my son.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my grown up son. I'm so proud of you, Annie. And Watto out of nowhere. I was endeared to Watto in this movie.
Dude.
Like
a nobody, bro.
Yeah. He's nobody in this movie now. And now he's like, Annie?
Little Annie?
And then Anakin picks up the thing and he's fixing it. And he's like, it is you! Ah, you're nobody!
Jedi!
I like that. It was like a callback in a way that wasn't, a callback to the previous movie. Sure, it wasn't that long ago, but I liked it. It was a feel good like finish to the character. He gave it showed that he did the right thing, even though he was villain put to the ground. Did the right thing for Shmi, like sold her to a guy who married her, and it was good. It made you like Watto in this movie.
I didn't hate Watto, that's for sure. In a way, you are endeared to the character of Watto in a way you wouldn't expect to be.
Yeah, didn't expect him to be that cool.
No, another character who I didn't expect to be as cool as he was in
R2-D2.
Is you could go R2-D2.
Man, I got him right here. He's got his little rockets. He go. That's about it, though.
Him and C-3PO.
He's even cooler in the next one.
Yeah,
I had a action figure growing up of C-3PO with interchangeable droid head and droid body.
Really?
Yeah. So you could put the droid body on him.
Oh, I had an R2-D2 action figure where it was all dirtied up from Empire Strikes Back, and that was my cool. That was my cool.
Your cool droid. Yeah.
That was my cool droid.
I just remember having like 15 R2-D2 like Lego minifigs because he was in like three sets every wave of Star Wars.
Then every spaceship you'd buy, he's
right,
in there. And,
right.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it's a lot. Same thing with R4-P17, dude. Come on. Another peak astromech. Also, I don't seem to ever remember owning a droid. What about R4, dude?
He don't care about R4, okay?
I guess he doesn't care about R4.
He doesn't care, no.
Is he much in Clone Wars?
He is in Clone Wars.
He's prominent in there.
Yeah.
Not enough, though, to be like, whatever.
George Lucas, you suck.
I'm sure.
You suck, George Lucas. You should have known this back in 1977.
I'm sure if Luke asked him, did you ever have luscious long hair? He would have said, I don't remember having that either. So he's in a phase of denial. Like, who killed my dad? some guy, Darth Vader.
Well, maybe it was never his personally assigned droid. R2-D2 was like his droid. It was Anakin's droid. And Anakin was a very personal guy. So yeah, you can say that it was Anakin's astromech was R2-D2, but R4, he was just like in the ship. He never really like.
I love that R4 is getting this much conversation.
Love getting C-3PO and R2-D2 together, getting the dynamic duo that we started this whole marathon with. Back on the screen. They got good
bickering,
and you get an endgame moment where C-3PO is like, "I've never been on a spaceship before."
Oh, yeah.
All right. Who's never been to space?
Yeah, man. I was going to say Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan Kenobi is as really cool. Like,
visible confusion.
Dude, he goes on the most, to me, the most, like, interesting side quest, like, fetch. Usually fetch quests in movies are not, like, as engaging to me, but, like, everywhere he goes and the characters he talks to.
Just because it's a poison dart. Mm-hmm. And he goes to Dax, he's like, it's like, yo.
This is a Kaminoan.
It's like,
you can tell because of the marks.
Okay.
No droid is going
to
tell you that.
And then he gets to Kamino, and it's this massive, massive world that he's just, oh, yeah, Sifo-Dyas, my boy, yeah. He's I think Obi-Wan handles it a little bad. He could have been a little more little more stealth with his detective work. Oh yes, yeah, that's why I'm here, you know?
That's why I'm here. Oh yeah, you built us an army? Great.
Oh, right on.
I love how different this is from Phantom Menace, because these have, and really all of the other.
That's true.
No, actually, it's similar to the original trilogy, how our main characters split off into A and B plots right away from the beginning. Empire Strikes Back, Luke leaves, just like Obi-Wan, for the entirety of the movie, pretty much. And no, for the entirety of the movie. Luke is on Dagobah, whereas Obi-Wan is on Kamino, and he's on Geonosis, and they're not reunited until the very end for the final fights and whatever. This has a lot of parallels to Empire Strikes Back. I wonder if he had that in mind.
I mean, it's true. They rhyme. It's like a stanza. It rhymes, like George Lucas like said. Poetry. There are similarities you can draw, but I think, I mean, with all Star Wars films, there are similarities you can draw, but I like how you did say at the start, like, I agree with what you said at the beginning. Like, this is really different.
Mm.
Just in its structure alone, this is the most...
Immediately starts with that dark tone where the ship explodes and the decoy is killed, and you get to see that right there.
Well, right from the start, you have a pan up after the crawl. Mm-hmm. Every Star Wars film has a pan down, at least from this point forward. And this shows that, okay, this is a turning point for the galaxy. Things are not going to be the same here. And I think in almost every way, like plot structure, you're going from a super intense romance to a detective story right here, going back and forth from the Jedi Council, and just a really cool Obi-Wan plot. Like, the stuff on Kamino is insanely interesting. All the lore that Lamassu and Tonwi dump on you. Like, Fett demanded only one thing, an unaltered clone for himself. Boba Fett, like, and they...
That was cool.
Oh, Boba Fett, what? Hold up, wait a minute. This is Boba Fett. Another thing, Boba introduced in the second Empire Strikes Back.
You know, there you go. Well, actually, he was introduced in the holiday special, but...
That's true.
He's in the special edition of A New Hope, actually.
Yeah,
is also
you
true.
Get with the program, Ben.
Yeah.
I don't... What do I know?
And immediately, right off the bat, I think part of the tone changes because it's on digital. It's filmed on digital. And that... All right,
good transition. Hold on. No, he's right, though. You're right.
It adds a coldness to the film. There is... the CGI is immediately way better than Phantom Menace. And that was a big complaint we had for Phantom Menace, is that it's like 7 out of 10 quality for like the entire movie.
But
this one's like 8 or 9 out of 10 CGI, I feel. The only thing that's bad is the shots.
I think Lucas knew what he was... Like, what looked the best from the first one, and kind of roll with that. Like, Kamino looks really good.
The darker planets.
Like, my main thing is, I think Naboo looked not too good in Phantom Menace, especially the Binx's battle. Yes,
they do. Especially because, like, some of it is natural background.
And by Kamino, I mean the exterior shots.
Mm.
I don't mean, like, the millions of clone troopers eating a meal. I don't necessarily think that looks the best.
Well, that's practical. Well,
millions of clone troopers.
It was like in
yes, the suits are practical, Ben.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, when they had to go and do individuals.
Eating the meal is practical, but no clone trooper in the prequel trilogy is practical.
How do we feel about that? This is, you know, he's the make stuff guy, and not one clone trooper armor was physically made.
Well, for him, he thought that technology was the future, and like there was no going back. Like once you get...
Yeah, but you don't even want just one practical.
We wouldn't see a practical one until Ahsoka, right? Or a book.
Not
of
Ahsoka.
Obi-Wan.
What was the
Obi-Wan
first?
No, we see it in
Mando season
Book of
two.
Boba Fett?
Mando season two. No, it is the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, holy there's cow. A dream sequence or a vision, whatever, with
Grogu. Yeah.
Practical 501st clone troopers. Yeah. That's true. Interesting. Hmm. I really don't mind the digital. Like, I know he's the practical guy, but I've had this complaint with a lot of Disney stuff, like their over reliance on practical effects. Like, in some ways, you should make it animated. Like, you should VFX the thing. I really don't care. If it looks better, make
Disney's
it animated.
Over reliance?
on practical.
You're just talking about certain things from the shows. Yeah.
Like think, you should, like Dexter Jetster.
In general.
Dexter Jetster is a character you can't do without having it be practical. Like now you could do a clone trooper practically. You could. But for the stuff that he needs him for and the scenes that he needs him for, let's do it. You can customize it whatever you want. Like, you don't have to have a million people show up in clone trooper armor on Geonosis. Like, that would be insane. First of all, that would be insanely hot. Not that Geonosis is a real place. I'm sure they filmed it on a desert or in a green screen.
Hot from like, oh my goodness, clone troopers.
Wow. I mean, that too, man. I mean, come on. But if you can do it digitally and make it look good, which it does, you do it, you know? Go ahead. And he does. He does it really well, like really well. Like the clone troopers look really, really good, except for when it's like wide shots of them on Kamino.
I mean, everyone grew up loving the clone troopers. I don't know anyone who didn't. Like I had many, many wallpapers on my iPod 4, my 4G, call it, the fourth generation iPod, of just all the different clone troopers and their cool armors and
clones. I only liked them because of the Lego games. Because you got to play as Commander Cody.
The armor,
they're so cool. Like,
Their armor, and we'll get more into it as we get more customization. Like especially in Revenge of the Sith, there's so many unique clone units,
especially in the Clone Wars film.
And the Clone Wars film, but I mean, it doesn't get more. It doesn't get as good until you get and watch the Clone Wars series, where it gets really fleshed out the clones as characters, and then you get so many cool variants of troopers, but. I mean, there's nothing like the Grand Army of the Republic, man. There is nothing like it. If I could ever be a part of a fictional army or ever have a fictional army fight for me, it would be the clone army, the Grand Army of the Republic.
Yeah, would you be a Jedi for the Grand Army?
Well, just the concept of like, because as it goes from here and each Jedi has their own clone unit with a unique...
Clones post like, Order 66.
Yeah, because they have a very specific flaw in their programming.
But that, like, that's a retcon, man. It never was like that until Clone Wars.
Huh. Which is better.
Oh, it absolutely is better. But in the original books, novel, video games, everything, the clones, there's a monologue by Tamir Morrison for the Battlefront 2 game that says, did we have any doubts, any private traitorous thoughts before they go in to execute Order 66?
Because
in the Jedi Temple, like it's them who do it because they were made by Palpatine and they follow his orders.
We'll talk about it when we get to next week about Order 66, but I think that's a great change just because it feels so mindless in the movie without the chip.
And it's like 3 years.
You'd like together. To think that those relationships matter.
And they make it so that it does. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is the coolest scene we've ever gotten with Jedi, and I think we often overlook the Battle of Geonosis.
You have 200 Jedi.
That is so cool.
Pop up
200
here.
At the start.
You 200
end with,
at the start.
Like 20.
Yeah. There's not a lot. All the cool ones.
A greater
are
massacre
left.
Than Order 66 happens on Geonosis, and we forget about it.
Dude. Well, also let's just talk about this plan for a second, like. I'll take all the Jedi that we have in the temple right now and we'll go to Geonosis right now. Like, first of all, how'd you get there without anyone noticing? 200 Jedi show up in this freaking arena? Second of all...
Yeah, because it's sick.
Oh, it's freaking epic, dude. But like, where's the strategy here?
And I have to say, I'm very sorry I didn't bring my Coleman Trevor Lego minifig at home.
Where's your Jedi Bob?
I have him.
Where's your Jedi Bob?
RIP to him.
Dude, if you don't know who Coleman Trevor is, he's the Jedi who gets absolutely murked by Jango Fett.
Just get wrecked.
He looks like a dinosaur.
He looks like a dinosaur. He's the dinosaur Jedi.
If you're watching the video, I'm not going to edit it in, but just zoom in on the laptop. Go ahead.
If you Google Dino Jedi.
We are docking our editor's pay.
Yeah, he's getting cut.
But dude, he's such a beast, and he gets nothing to do. There's got to be some comic or side story with Coleman Trevor, man.
Let the Markiplier reaction in the corner. But yeah, anything so else we sad. Want to talk about?
It's so sad. I really like the...
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about.
Ooh.
Speaking of practical effects, you know what they did do practically? They did there's so many aliens. There's so many aliens in the bar scene.
Yep.
And that is super cool. It's like what they wanted the cantina to be in episode 4.
Felt like a faint imitation, though, of the cantina. You know, you don't...
Yes.
The score feels really lacking there. Does it not?
It does.
There's like nothing.
Jester's
really.
Diner, yeah.
His not music Jester's is not, Diner. I'm talking about...
The bar.
Where they're chasing the changeling.
Yeah.
Where they're like...
the death
you wanna
stick
buy some
scene.
Death sticks.
The death stick scene. We haven't even talked about
go home and rethink
Ivan
my life.
Sleaze-Bogano, man. Holy catfish. That guy's a beast. He actually did go home. He rethinked his life. He like he ends
rethinked.
Up being
he rethought.
He re How would you even thought. Say that? Jedi he business. Rethought his life.
Back to your drinks.
Jedi business. Dude, Sam Wessel also in I remember being absolutely scared from Sam Wessel's transformation as a kid.
Oh yeah.
Just that split second of the transformation to the changeling. Like, ooh, what was
why
that?
Why does Django not do this himself?
Dude, he doesn't want to tie.
He finances it to a changeling who finances it to a droid who finances it to two.
Why would he use a dart that can track him back to Kamino?
That's a good question, man.
So the movie can happen, Micah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Dude, it wouldn't be a good Obi-Wan wouldn't have found Kamino.
No, and we wouldn't have gotten many great.
I love the
moments.
Banter mm-hmm. between Obi-Wan and Anakin in these beginning scenes.
I do too.
Where he's like, what took you so long? Well, you know, I had to find a good speeder and I couldn't find the right color or the right speed, you know, and once I got in it, I had to meet my specifications.
Dude, and when he jumps off the speeder,
oh, I hate it when he does that.
like, what? How often is Anakin doing this?
Jumping it's not that speeder? I hate flying. It's just, I hate when you do that.
What you're doing is suicide. And then the power couplings. Anakin, what have I told you about going through?
And I love how later when he's on Geonosis or flying around Geonosis, this is why I hate flying.
Yeah, dude.
The callback. It's great.
Gotta mention the seismic charges for a second there.
Oh. We definitely had some, growing up, we definitely had some space battles running around the yard where we're
dude.
Driving our spaceships and we're like, I'm going to throw a seismic charge. And we go,
yeah. Well, dude, that sound effect is epic. Like, come on, man. And then I guess we'll talk about that. It has its own segment. But I want to mention the romance one more time because I did say that it is not as well executed, though. But I will say, like, whenever John Williams, the love theme here, Across the Stars.
He's the Band-Aid.
Whenever that theme starts playing, all moments of, like, ooh, this is not that great, like, fall away. Mm-hmm. And I'm completely invested in the
you're levitating. Yeah.
When Across the Stars is playing.
The manipulation of music.
It's absolutely insane.
Well,
like,
take music out of any movie and it's not as good.
Yes.
No, exactly.
Here is John Williams really does a lot of heavy lifting in the Star Wars prequel films. Because
I feel like this one is as heavy lifting for me.
Across the Stars is arguably the greatest
ever
written for a
movie.
I'm
not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's really good, but I don't think it's the thing that's heavy lifting. I think it's like holding its weight.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that it's.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like a lot of people think that, episode 2 is only good because of Across the Stars, but I think it's. After this watch, it's like deserved.
Dude. You also have the Kamino theme, the Count Dooku theme,
yeah,
the Clone March theme, which is made in this one, and Love Pledge in the Arena. I know I'm forgetting one other theme.
Oh, the Love Pledge in the Arena really hit me this time,
dude. That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
Not just
the song, but like the interactions between them.
Yes, John Williams goes absolutely hard in Attack of the Clones. That's what we're trying to say here.
Yeah.
Another thing that may or may not go absolutely hard is the lightsaber battle. We have two in this film.
We gonna rank them right now?
We gotta rank them right now, dude. First one we gotta rank though.
Can we do three? Are we counting Yoda Dooku as a different one?
Yes. Okay. Yoda Dooku is by itself. And then we have Anakin Obi-Wan versus Dooku.
And then Geonosian battle or no?
I don't know if I would count that as a duel.
No. Who do you duel with?
Right.
Who there's no
it's
dueling.
The Jedi dueling with the droid
Mace
army.
Mace Windu versus Boba Fett. Jango Fett.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Have you guys seen the extended?
Yes.
Deleted scene of that?
Murks him. Like,
did you see the one where, so it's the extended scene, but the guy on Reddit put new CGI over it so it's blended in.
I have not seen that.
Yeah,
no.
That's good. We'll watch it.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's rank the first one. So we have Duel of the Fates at the top, Vader versus Luke in Return of the Jedi.
Do
as
those
number
count
two.
As two? Do these count as two though? One scene.
Is
but
it
it's
though?
Two fights.
Like,
it's definitely two fights.
It's definitely two fights. It's two duels.
And some
for
people
sure.
will definitely
but
say
you could
that
say
Yoda
that,
shouldn't have been fighting, and like that's a garbage fight. They'll
we'll
say
talk
that.
About that.
You could say the same thing though about Vader and Luke on Bespin, right? They fight. He falls out the window. New duel starts there.
I don't think you could though.
No, but that's the same people, same scene. These are different people, same scene.
You all know, right. it's the same villain, but like you have two people dueling against him, and then like you can tell when Yoda walks in, there's a tonal shift in the story. Like the music changes, and you're like, holy
I cannot
crap.
Beat you with my abilities in the Force. The contest, so we must finish this with lightsabers or whatever he says. That's cool.
So clunky.
Yes.
I am McClunky. The lines were not that.
No.
So yeah, we have to rank this on our list. We have six duels. So where does Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Dooku fall on our list as of right now? Because I think the first one is good at parts and then really bad at other parts.
Yeah, it just, it's so just... I don't know. It's so quick and it feels, yeah, I like you get some dual wielding in there.
It's
that's
quick,
pretty neat.
Fast.
It's
cool.
Just like, okay, whatever. Like Obi-Wan gets hit in the knee and then lays down for the rest of the fight.
Well, he gets stabbed twice.
He gets hit. He's not stabbed.
He is.
No,
he's he is not stabbed twice. Yeah.
No. He's not stabbed. He's sliced.
Sliced. Okay.
He's
that's
not
fair.
Stabbed. Like you
Anakin
can
gets his whole elbow cut off.
Right.
That's
like
true.
You could get up.
That's
bro.
When you that's when you go. Yeah. I don't know. On the thigh, man, that's a pretty tender part of your body.
You
I don't
get
know.
Up.
Well, I want to see you get up from a lightsaber.
I would.
Yeah?
I would.
I would. Yeah.
I guess it is cauterized right away.
Well, my biggest issue with it though is when Anakin is fighting Dooku.
With two?
At the end, though, and they're just like,
it's
no. Okay.
It's only
I kind of like
on them.
It's
yeah.
bad. It's really bad.
I kind of liked that. I kind of really? Liked how it's you know they stand like that for a little bit because yeah. that's the form, and
yes,
it shows. All right, they put some thought into it more than
no, but
Phantom Menace for what the stances these guys should be having. Mm-hmm. What kind of you know? It adds to the lore of there are Jedi stances. There are lightsaber. Strategy and that's adding to the texture of the prequel lightsaber fighting.
Yes,
the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, they all have different lightsaber fight styles. Mm-hmm. And this is just evidence of
no, but the way it's shot, it looks like they could have filmed it in separate rooms. That's just how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I love it that does. Ben pointed that
they go,
out.
They go like it's like almost shot reverse shot mm-hmm. in a lightsaber duel. You can't do that with a lightsaber duel, man. After they do the forms mm. is what I find really egregious. It's I don't know. I
it
really
was quick
don't.
Enough where it was. I mean, it doesn't. It's enough to drop it from the top spot. But for me, I'd put it here. What do you guys think?
I agree with that. Just above Obi-Wan versus
all
Vader.
Right. I guess I would put it under Obi-Wan versus Vader.
You
but
would
I mean,
put it under
like
it's
as
it's the death of Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but it's
but
you know,
that's
it's,
not like I agree with that.
It's
but
too
like,
simple for me. The Obi-Wan versus Vader.
That also, the choreography, I'm sorry.
I just
it
don't
sucks.
Feel right about that.
That's
whatever.
Fair.
Y'all
that's
have voted me.
That's fair. All right. Yeah. So that's fourth place. That duel is fourth place, just
I
for you guys keeping
here,
track.
But yeah.
Now we go to Yoda versus Dooku, which I think is really good.
All right. So Yoda walks in, and I was watching this with Rebecca, and Dooku starts force throwing stuff at him. And Rebecca's like, why would she? Why would he try to hurt him? He's just a baby. He's
what?
Just Yoda.
I don't understand what. Dude. What in this face screams young to you?
He's just Yoda. Why would he?
Well, look at the wrinkles.
She didn't know that he can fight.
Oh.
So when he like... started fighting, she was like, what? I didn't know he could fight. This is cool.
It that scene.
So just for that, I would put this
number one.
Number one.
All right. So we do.
We gotta talk about. We gotta talk about this.
It
one,
looks
though.
Very like you know. You wait. You win forever to see Yoda fight since Empire. Yeah, there's
a
debate.
Look at the Lego setup. It's got a little jumpy.
If he should stand, you know, it's cool. It's cool. Yoda's a fighter, and he looks great doing it. But I think we have to factor in that it is just Christopher Lee, or at least Christopher Lee's double with a CGI Christopher Lee face on him, waving a lightsaber around, and then Yoda edited in after the fact. I think that needs to be considered when talking about this.
It's not practical, is what you're saying. Well, not as practical as you'd like.
It's more like, yeah, it looks really cool, but it's because it kind of just is articulated to look that way, where it could just be Ben Rayside waving a lightsaber around.
So it sounds like your argument is it looks cool because they made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, they made it that way.
The wands in Harry Potter are so trash because they just make it that way.
But like that's...
No, you
know
what I'm saying though? It's just... it. Like my thing, like I think is really cool. I would put it right above...
this last one?
Right above Obi-Wan Anakin.
See, I would bump it up one more. I think this is better than Luke versus Vader on Bespin.
I wouldn't even consider that.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, I'm outvoted.
I think
then.
This one looks better. This one's more artistic, and that's why it...
Well, see, I also like the beginning of the fight, too, when they're going back and forth with their force powers.
That's not a duel. That's not a lightsaber duel, Ben.
I'm with you,
that's
but
a force power duel.
I mean, it's part of the duel, though. It's part of the duel. I mean, I guess we are ranking lightsaber duels, so you're right. But
I just don't want it to be better.
You guys are fine. You guys already outvoted
cool.
me.
It's a very
but
cool,
I really
it's
like
cool
this fight.
Seeing Luku or Luku, Yoku, Dooku, and Yoda fight.
Dang. That's fair. That's fair. All right. So that takes fifth place then, or fourth place,
fourth
I should
place,
say.
Yeah, yeah.
So
fourth
read
place.
Our ranking, Micah.
Yep.
Duel of Fates. So that's that's the end of Phantom Menace. Vader versus Luke, Part 2. So that's Episode 6. Luke versus Vader. Bespin, Yoda versus Dooku, Obi-Wan and Anakin versus Dooku, Obi-Wan versus Vader in Episode 4, and Qui-Gon versus Maul on Tatooine, and Noah versus Tarek,
which is peak
Battle for Endor.
Yeah, man. That's good stuff. So there's your lightsaber duel for now.
We're going to begin our next episode with Obi-Wan and Anakin versus Dooku too. So we
will
see.
That's true, man. What are we going to have to add? The list is going to triple at the end of next week.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's a lot in Revenge of the Sith.
The Lego level that is really cool for this episode. I like the Geonosis level where they're walking through we were dogging on it, but I guess what other episode... What other level is good in this?
The Kamino level.
The Kamino level.
I really like the Kamino level. Yeah,
it's got a lot of heart.
Yeah, I like
the disco.
I like that one a lot. Speaking of things we like about the movie, Ethan, you have a favorite scene? You have a favorite scene in Attack of the Clones?
Do I have a favorite scene in this movie?
If I could drag something positive out,
I already said mine, so I'm just
try to pry something out that I love. a favorite scene, man. Something
when
with...
he's riding the shocks in the he's going
oh heck no no way
and he goes ah.
And don't be shy, it's when the creature claws Padme and she gets her
she gets a little crop top
so yeah, like yeah. The dog pound in here.
Man, favorite scene, I like Obi-Wan and Kamino when he's talking to the Kaminoans.
Kaminoans.
I like that because he's so like, it's so funny. It's just situational humor where Obi-Wan goes because he's literally trying to find who tried killing Padme and stumbles upon this world that's way bigger than
I love Orbe. Batman Obi-Wan. Yeah, this is cool. I love his whole journey on in the
plus
Jedi.
we get my single favorite meme is Obi-Wan, you know, looking confused, and under it, the captions say visible confusion. Yeah.
Did you watch with captions on when you watched this one?
Did it say visible confusion?
I think it does say visible confusion.
I don't think
that's
it
where it comes from.
I think that's a meme.
Is it?
I think someone's made that.
Dang it.
Because no way the captions say visible confusion.
I had captions on, but it wasn't like the heart of or whatever ones.
I guess we'll have to throw this bad boy in later.
We'll have to find out. Yeah. Okay. Micah, remind us what your favorite scene was real quick.
Count Dooku's interrogation on Geonosis.
Yes.
Obi-Wan.
Very good scene. this time around, I'll be quick. It was Shmi and Anakin, her death. Her death scene. It hit me way harder than I expected it to.
Yeah, death is good.
I don't know, man. It really helps. I love the character of Anakin, and this like really solidifies it. A lot of people, he gets like slack, like, dude, this is a crazy person. Like, he goes and slaughters all these freaking Tusken Raiders.
He definitely has
like,
some mental issues.
Like, what? Like, for sure.
110%.
But that's the point, man. Like, this dude is freaking insane. Like, and this is Darth Vader we're talking about.
And it's because a lot of people critique the Jedi Order for not adapting to his specific case because he was so mentally disturbed.
Yes.
They didn't alter how they should have treated him.
But they literally can't because they don't understand. Yes, that's not how they were raised. They don't, like, they're not as in touch with their emotions, you know?
It's not a phase.
But, like,
I want to be the Empire.
Anakin is, and he, like, literally suffers so much in, like, every situation, he's put in. Like,
yeah.
It's bad. But that scene really hit me hard this time. Favorite character, though. We have to talk about favorite characters.
Jar Jar Binks.
In Attack of the Clones. Mike, are you taking
Jar Jar Binks? I will enact emergency powers for...
Jar Jar's the key to all of that.
You want to comment what your fiance said about Jar Jar in this movie, Micah?
He wasn't as funny in this movie.
When I talked to her, she sounded a lot more upset than that. Yeah. She was
big
like,
disappointment.
Yeah, but she was really
big
upset
this time.
Jar Jar's role was cut significantly.
I don't know why, but it's
evident. Because the next time we'll see something like this is with Rose in Rise of Skywalker, because the involvement's the same. Then the next movie is like, oh wow, it's clear they're like, we have to put him back in this movie for reasons, but we'll minimize the role incredibly.
They don't do what they did with Jar Jar, but yeah, they minimize her. We'll get to that when we talk about Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
But Ethan, if you had to choose a favorite character in Attack of the Clones.
I'm going to divert to you guys.
Oh, did I just pick Jar Jar?
No. Push it on to you guys because I got first for scene, so I want to
throw
it back to you guys.
Are you taking Jar Jar? No way.
No, I'm not taking Jar Jar.
No way.
I will take Count Dooku for the same reasons, just because he blew me away.
Doo-doo.
Okay, all right.
Count Doo-doo.
There's actually a Lego Star Wars short that say, Count Dooku, sir? You know your name sounds like doo-doo? I got to pull it up after this, but it's a really funny
one. So what's the story of the casting of Christopher Lee? Because there's Lord of the Rings in the background,
same year,
too.
Yeah.
How did the filming schedules work? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know. Okay. I just know that he was not in both as much as all the other actors, so he was able to devote time. But also Lord of the Rings was filmed first before Attack of the
Clones. Resident lore master has
Lord of the Rings was way done. Lord of the Rings was done.
No, but I know there's something behind the scenes to where one of these was. I think this one was conflicted because of
shooting schedules and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said you did pick Count Dooku though.
I'll pick Count Dooku.
Yeah. Okay.
For similar reasons, his favorite scene.
Okay. Man, there's a lot of glup shittos in this movie, man.
Oh, it was pretty cool having the Death Star show up.
Oh, you got to mention that. We can't forget about the Death Star. A lot of people forget
that the Death Star is in this.
Yes, yes.
And that the Geonosians made it. Cool.
Our plans for the ultimate weapon. I'll keep these with my
master. Is that Gunray who's talking about that?
That is actually Poggle the Lesser, the Geonosian.
Oh.
Yeah. Although Newt Gunray does have... Oh, hey, that's a pretty good Geonosian, man.
Thank you.
There's actually a guy on TikTok who can speak fluent Geonosian. It's pretty impressive.
Good for him.
Dexter Jetster is definitely the best character in this movie, without a doubt. Hey there, old buddy. Wow.
I got a laugh out of
Rebecca. What do you know? Dude,
I didn't notice till this watch he has a mustache.
Right?
I always forget about the mustache.
That's crazy.
It's pretty glaring right in your face.
The Mandela effect.
Dude, when he like goes to hug Obi-Wan and he like scratches his like...
Lifts up his plumber's crack with his fourth arm.
I think that's a foreshadow to General Grievous.
General Grievous, but also, and I never realized this until like recent rewatches, but like him and Pong Krell, if you've seen the Clone Wars, are the same race. I'm like, what? That's wild.
Oh, is he Pong Krell?
They're the same.
They're the same character.
I'm forgetting the species, but yeah, they're the same.
Ponkrellian.
Yeah, Ponkrellian. Dexter Jester is definitely my favorite. Definitely my favorite character. Ethan.
Basilisk.
Basilisk, yeah, yeah.
Ponkrell right. Looks like he has a better diet than Dexter does.
Oh, for sure.
He still has the big chin, but...
Right, yeah. But he's a little more clean cut and slim. And fun fact, Ben has his minifig.
Yeah, man. I wish I had his minifig.
So my favorite character is...
Lobot or whatever it is.
You want some Jamba Juice? Or Jamba Juice. I should say Jamba Juice.
You know what? I don't know why. I'll take Padme. I'll go
yeah,
Padme.
You would.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, we all know why.
We know that dog.
Yeah, this guy.
I'll take yeah. No, just because, you know, Obi-Wan I've taken before and he would be the one I would take, but you know, I don't think next week I'll be taking Padme, so yeah, give Natalie Portman some love here. Yeah.
You're leading me down this, a path I cannot follow.
Right, like this was our Princess Leia. People grew up crushing on the original trilogy, grew up crushing on Princess Leia.
You got me sweating over here.
Yep. We man, still dude. Currently crush Ooh. Over Padme, so.
Oh, man.
this day.
Oh, and I think she's cool. She's a super cool character. It's cool to have a strong female lead, much like Princess strong. Leia was, but now she gets to be on the political side. And it's fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Locked in.
Locked in, dude. I was locked in watching this movie, bro.
Yeah, as soon as that like cat thing climbed up the.
Wow, whoa, hold on.
Oh, no, Princess Leia got
bro,
scratched.
10-year-old me was
locked
like,
in.
Wait, there's a reason I started out right at that point. Like, see quicker.
Oh, reveal.
Dang.
Oh, wasn't there a Mythbusters episode where they proved she wouldn't survive jumping off that thing onto the.
Dude!
That would
I don't care who you are.
Pelvic region.
That's insane.
She got bones. She drank her milk that day. She ate her Wheaties.
How high up is that? Like 30 feet?
Yeah. Jumps that's pretty wild.
Must be a really cushioned creature.
Knowing Mythbusters, they probably got Grant Imahara's prop from... From set, where it's like, all right, here we go. We got it for scale.
Dude, the Mythbuster Star Wars episodes were the best.
Oh, yeah, because Grant was on. He was part of the set building.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Of the prequels?
Of the prequels.
Really?
That's how he got into Mythbusters.
He was the R2-D2 controller.
So, wait, did they prove that it could work?
No.
Or did they say that
we will have her pelvic bone would just
We will
be
have to watch it later.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
There's
we'll
a couple episodes.
Yes. And I think they do one with, like, a lightsaber and... stopping lasers if it's possible.
Interesting. Mr. Het, if you could give us the box office numbers.
Yes.
And give us all the accolades of Attack of the Clones.
So it's interesting. Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones both had a $115 million budget, but Revenge of the Sith had a $113 million budget.
Had less?
Yeah, by $2 million for Revenge of the Sith. I don't know why. Ask George Lucas. Oh, well, he just said... All right, buddy.
perfect, George.
Imagine that we have an interview with George Lucas. And Mike just goes, "All right, buddy.
What's up with the $2 million discrepancy?
Thanks for coming on, but
calm down." Right.
So the box office for Attack of the Clones that made $80 million domestically opening weekend, made $310 million domestically, and that was half of its full global box office of $653 million, guys. That
big
is
step down
a
from
big
Phantom
step down. Yeah, but still almost as much as A New Hope made total.
Still, yes, it's still as profitable, I will say,
so
as
it
the
is,
budget.
It is our third highest profitable so far. Making 5.5 times its budget, just about. Pretty solid. I mean, no Star Wars movie except for Solo has really bombed. So, yeah. I mean, nothing much to write
Solo
home about.
Really
People don't
bombed.
Like this movie, but it's still made bonkers money. Only one nomination for any award, and it was Best Visual Effects Oscar.
Wow. This one really didn't do a lot.
It kind of drops off after this.
The score, the instrumentals didn't...
Nope, nothing.
John Williams didn't get any accolades for this?
Nothing.
Dude, is there a better love theme in Hollywood? Is there a better love theme written? Like,
West Side Story is pretty good.
Which? How does that go? I don't even know how that goes. The theme though, or is it like a lyrical song? Yeah, that, no, that's like that's a song, like a theme.
I present to you the constant theme from Lost. That would be mine.
Yeah, but that's not Hollywood.
That's a good one though. But it, as iconic though as Across the Stars, bro. Like I'm thinking maybe Titanic. Maybe the love theme from Titanic.
Yeah, there it is. My Heart Will Go On.
My Heart Will Go On. There you go.
Yeah. Leia's theme. Marion's theme.
Han and Leia's theme is really good. Marion's theme is
Mask
really,
of Zorro.
True.
Love theme?
Oh, Take My Breath Away. That's the one from Top Gun.
Oh.
Bow, bow,
that's
bow,
a pretty
bow,
iconic
bow.
One, man.
Bow, bow, bow.
They play it like every 15 minutes.
I know. I love it.
It is pretty good.
This one, interesting. George Lucas did not write this on his own. He had the screenplay done with Jonathan Hales. This is the only other prequel trilogy where he gets help for the writing process, which was interesting to me.
Jonathan Hales, interesting. This is something foreign to me. I did not know that. I thought he did this by himself.
No, this is the only one where he has assistance on the screenplay.
I wonder
what else did he
what
do?
Jonathan
Ethan,
Hales.
You've got it pulled up.
Yeah, I'm looking.
I wonder what Jonathan Hales contributed.
The Scorpion King.
He did the Scorpion King.
Oh, no.
He did Wait the Young minute. Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
That's why this is peak.
That's why this is peak. Wait a minute. Is he?
He wrote the original screenplay for Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga video game.
Well, yeah, because he wrote the screenplay for episode two, so he's going to be on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Dude, this guy's done some pretty big stuff.
Yeah,
the Scorpion King
it.
Is all I needed to hear. That's
he wrote a few episodes for Dallas, which was a huge show.
Back in the day.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap this up. I got to pee.
What? Way to get to it. Micah, like give it. Us the scores of the internet.
Oh, yeah. Rotten Tomatoes Critic gave it a 65%, which is higher than Phantom Menace by a significant amount.
True.
But a lower score for Rotten Tomatoes User at a 56%. Which is strange because nobody really dogs in this movie as vocally as they do Phantom Menace.
True.
Which was very interesting that the user score is lower than Phantom Menace's by just 3 points at 56. Metacritic critic score is a 54, whereas the user score is a 61, which is interesting because people tend to not like this movie as much. It's weird how
there's a higher user
how the,
score.
The vocal minor or the vocal majority. Yeah. Is for these prequel movies. Letterboxd, 54%, so just the same amount, like 2.5-ish out of 5. IMDb, 6.6 out of 10, averaging it out to a 59%, just 1 point higher than Phantom Menace.
Okay. So this is just by a hair better than Phantom Menace, as far as critics-wise goes.
Yes, Hollywood Reporter. Still puts it in 9th place out of 10th place. 10th place is Phantom Menace. 9th place is Attack of the Clones.
Will
and
that
then,
be the same?
Famously, we've already said this a couple times, my Last Jedi review or ranking, I put this on the bottom. But I am afraid it will not be on the bottom this time as we have a couple pieces of garbage that we had to caravan through.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, very well put. That's the thing, man. Who cares about what other people think? Even though we have a whole segment dedicated to it. I care about what you guys think.
I'm scared.
So.
Mr. Skywalker, I'm scared.
Micah.
I'm scared.
I'm going to have you go first, Micah.
I'm scared. All right. I really like this movie now.
Oh, dude, what's it going to be, Micah?
I'm scared.
Don't be scared, Micah. It's okay.
I think this is a really quality piece of cinema. I have never said this before about... I think this is a better movie than Phantom Menace. Like, a better movie and a better Star Wars movie in a lot of aspects. I think if you guys haven't seen Attack of the Clones in a while, rewatch it, pay attention. Pay attention to the dialogue.
You
pay
really
attention
need
to the acting.
Good nap? Throw it on.
Ethan's
That's
not
what Ethan
on
would
it,
say.
But I'm afraid I'm going to put this at an 8.9.
You're...
Dude.
Because I enjoyed this part
there's
more
no way.
Than...
There's no
more
way.
More than Return of the Jedi.
This is not even... happening right now.
Ethan is
You're knocking on the door of a like nine. This is a point, and you know, this is almost a perfect film.
No.
But I mean, an 8.9 out of 10.
A 9 is not a perfect
film. That is insane. But that is insane.
So, like Obi-Wan says in this movie,
I almost did a 9.2.
I am visibly confused.
What Obi-Wan says, this is how Ethan's feeling. Come to your senses. Dude, Ethan is flabbergasted. Okay, Ethan. Okay.
I am very hot on this movie. I'm just as surprised as you are. I fell in love with this movie.
I love it.
I almost gave it a 9.2, if not for Ethan just killing me if I gave it over a 9.
I would have to. Like, this is terrible. I've never regretted
it. In my mind's eye, it's a 9.2.
I've never regretted inviting you on the podcast more than I have today.
No way, Micah. No. I will bring this back, Micah. No way. Listen, your passion for this movie clearly was evident throughout this entire podcast. This is not something.
Shut up, Ethan.
This is not
you
one
are
of those.
Not, no, Micah.
Shut up, Ethan.
Go home and rethink your life.
I am home.
This. Mike, a 9.2 out of 10 for Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
No.
I am so hyped up.
Micah, think about it.
Listen.
I am thinking about
it. I'm telling you right now, guys, like my Punisher score of 8.
No.
We have to preserve the integrity of this. If you think this is a 9.2.
I gave stupid X-Men Apocalypse an 8.8. And if I regret that score, all right? And if in weeks to come, I regret this score, then I have to live with it. You don't have to live with this score.
I don't.
This
I don't
is
have
my
to,
score.
I don't have to live with your score,
True.
Micah.
But I
like this more than Return of the
Jedi. You got to go with your gut, man.
You like this more than Return of the Jedi.
Yes. I think it is a higher quality.
This is terrible. Film. This is not. I thought Star Wars would be fun to talk about. This is atrocious.
Ethan, like a lot of this is coming from just you specifically. You're making yourself have a terrible time.
No.
You
it's
are.
Just,
I've never heard such high praise.
These are fun films.
For this
they
movies,
are.
I have.
But they're not fantastic films.
All right.
I really like this movie.
Ethan, where is this a puzzle piece.
This connects Phantom Menace to
Does Empire Strikes Back.
Sith. Listen, no, Empire Strikes Back is
that was my argument
a
for
masterclass of a story. This isn't. This is a lore dump, and Ben said it. He confirmed my suspicion early on the podcast. What are these prequels without the work of the Clone Wars show? You know, and that's how I feel. I feel that these are really just throw up on a screen that George Lucas did that really are saved by what Filoni goes back and retroactively changes.
And George Lucas.
Yes, George Lucas is a part of it. But if you have years to sit on a script and go, well, let's kind of retroactively make that better. Yeah, retroactively, I think these are made better. But you have to look at them as the movie as itself. I think the dialogue isn't good. I don't like the plot structure. I think it's very messy and it's not enjoyable for me to watch. And I will say this, like, throughout talking about this, my score has gone up from what it was. Initial watch, I went, this is a 5. This is a 5. Initial watch.
You did say you would rather be doing 100 other things.
Yes,
I
didn't enjoy watching this. And the thing that was evident more than any other watch is, why have I never fallen in love with the prequels is because I've never cared about Anakin Skywalker.
Mm.
I love Darth Vader, one of the greatest villains of all time, but Anakin Skywalker isn't a character I care about, and I'm not drawn to him, and his story doesn't, the Chosen One stuff does not work for me at all, and I love Hayden Christensen, but his performance doesn't work for me in this movie, and nothing really works for me in this movie, but I have gone up a little just because Kenobi has some fun stuff to do, and the clone lore is really fun. Sifo Dyas name drop, really cool. And I like the clone troopers and what they bring to the Star Wars universe. But in this movie, I can't go super high. I do like Phantom Menace better. I think that's a better structured movie. I think Duel of the Fates really saves Phantom Menace. This I am giving, in my opinion, a very, very generous 6 to
Ouch.
This. Yes.
I want to reiterate that I am not super hot on the Clone Wars TV show. Like, it's good, but
listen,
really? The Clone Wars had no effect on my Attack of the Clones.
The Clone Wars has messy points, but the highest highs of Clone Wars, I I got to thank Ben solely for hooking me on that.
There was no point in Attack of the Clones where I was thinking about the Clone Wars show or like lore from it. I was, because I don't remember much from it lore wise. Like, yeah, the Ahsoka stuff, sure, but.
Okay. All right. So Ethan gives it a 6. And I will agree that I think the highest of the highs that the Clone Wars reaches is the best Star Wars ever gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is. I'm not going to say it's not messy, but I agree with Ethan, though. I think a lot of it is improved upon retroactively. I get a lot more from this movie with, you know, the Clone Wars series. But I mean,
and you've seen it how many times?
That's the Clone Wars series. Yeah. All through and through, probably 3 times. But I have watched many arcs 10 plus times.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I live in an age in 2024 where I view this movie in conjunction with the Clone Wars, Rebels, all of those things that add to this, the novels, everything that helps make this and elevate this to being a better film with more nuance, with more lore, with more things you can think about and appreciate. Just from a filmmaking standpoint, this is fantastic. This is fantastic filmmaking. Like, say what you want about the dialogue, but that is really my only critique about this, because that is where it's clunky. That's where it's McClunky, if you will. There are certain points where I cringe with Anakin, but John Williams, like we talked about, does a lot of heavy lifting here. And the finale of Attack of the Clones, like I said before, I think personally, Attack of the Clones, the ending of it is so insanely engaging and does almost as much, if not more, than Duel of the Fates does for this movie. This, along with Obi-Wan going about through his, you know, little side quest, going from unique location, studying. So I went back and looked into, you know, what they did for this movie, and George Lucas turned in the shooting script. So what he was going to be shooting and locations where he was going 3 days before they actually started shooting. So everyone on the film who was working on this didn't know how much each scene, each location, each character would be featured in the movie. So from that standpoint, the production team at Lucasfilm had to do so much and put in so much effort because they didn't realize how much certain things were going to be used. Coruscant is more fleshed out in this. Kamino is given so much life. This is something we've never seen before, and this is just this torrential downpour of a planet. And on this planet, there are these beings who create life, who create clone life. And they're, as Dexter Jetster put it, you know, they're damn good ones, cloners on Kamino, you know. Like, the ideas present in this alone are enough to make me as engaged as I am. But that, along with the music, along with the action, along with, at times, I'm not going to lie, the romance and the comedy of Attack of the Clones. There's a lot to appreciate about this movie. But I'm not going to fault you if you think this is clunky, if this is all over the place. Ethan, your reaction makes sense. I'm with you, dude. I can see where you're coming from.
You're not with me. God.
I can see where you're coming from.
I think it's because you didn't bring down our friend from Big Hero 6 to the display.
That's why. Yeah.
I see where you're coming from, Ethan. You're not crazy, bro. You're not crazy.
We have been watching different movies these past weeks because y'all, like, y'all talking like this is a cinematic masterpiece, and what I just watched was literal barf on a screen.
Dude.
Like, I'm going to move my score lower. This is a, go, Ben.
But
go.
It's
go, good. Ben. Go,
but
go,
to
go.
Us, like, you have to understand, like, to me and Mike, and I'm glad Mike is here too, but, like, there is so much to appreciate here.
He's leaving.
He's gone.
I'm done. I'm out of here.
Oh, something we didn't mention at all is how the Jedi come in from the
left
side. Well,
hang on here. Hang on, Micah, because because I'm about to give my score.
All right.
For this. Again, I want to say, I understand where you're coming from, Ethan. I do. But I don't think Micah's all that crazy, all right? I really understand where Micah's coming
crazy.
From. And my score.
Oh, our first 10.
No. It's not a 10. But it certainly isn't far from it. Mine's a 9. A 9 out of 10.
There we go.
I'm telling you, I really like Attack of the Clones. I was, even me, who has defended Attack of the Clones, liked this more than I thought I would on this rewatch. And that's what I get. And the look I'm getting from Ethan right now, if you're not watching this.
I'm not.
I'm
out of water, too.
Is just pure hatred.
I could see
Ethan going and just absolutely destroying a group of Tusken Raiders right now.
I would slaughter the men, the women, and the children too. I would do it.
All of them.
Because me and Micah have just given 9 and 9.2
to this.
And we didn't even talk about the peak is the Jango versus Obi-Wan fight. I love that.
Didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about how they do that. So Star Wars always does good guys come from the left side, bad guys come from the right side. How it's Jedi coming in from the left against the droids on the right, and then it switches when the clones come up. So the clones are coming in from the right side. That's the whole thing. Little bits like that are what make this movie good for me, and we didn't even talk about those. But
and again, it does so much for the character of Anakin, and if you don't buy into that, you're not going to like it. You're just not. Because that's a crucial part of this movie. You know, you can like Obi-Wan, but if that's all you like, it's a 6. But if
and
you
this
buy
movie
into,
used to not be for me. I don't think this movie's for everybody.
It's definitely not.
Wow.
It's definitely not.
Wow.
Look at those scores, bro.
Look at how close. All right, I'm going to read the scores real quick. All right, so Ben, you gave it a 9. I gave it a 9.2. Ethan, you gave it a 6. That averages
generous
out to an
6.
8. Hold on. I got to bring it out another number. All right. An 8.067. Phantom Menace, we gave a solid 8. So this is literally a 600th of a point better. The internet score isn't too far. The score relation isn't as far off as we thought it would be.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Attack of the Clones is definitely higher.
Yeah.
I really thought I was... Dude, when I went into this, I got to say, the prequels, I really thought I was going to be alone. And I said this from the outset. I said, you guys are going to hate me when we get... to the prequels.
It's just me.
It's just you, Ethan.
Just Micah. Yeah.
It's just you.
Do you think it has anything to do with your dad's views on the Star Wars
movies? It has nothing. No? I don't like these movies.
And that's fair.
Like next week, it will be fun. Because, you know, Revenge is a fun movie.
I'm seeing a pattern.
But...
7, 6, 5?
These aren't cinema to me. That no part of them are. Like, yeah, I view them as
Scorsese.
No. I'm not even saying it in that way where these aren't movies I sit down and I enjoy. And that's what I want from a movie. I love what these are in the context of Star Wars and the pieces they bring to the table. But I'm even worse on this movie than I thought I'd be. I didn't like this.
But it's valid.
I've heard that criticism before. Is there a short... dissection of Attack of the Clones?
Like I don't know. I don't think there is.
Well, I got to look it up.
But I mean, there's certainly a lot of people. Ryan Airy is from Screen Crush is someone who absolutely like adores this movie as well. Like there are your prequel Attack of the Clones apologists out there.
And I think a 6 is generous. Like that's not even.
Go 5.5. Micah wanted to switch his score.
I'm going 6.
You still have time, Ethan. You still have time.
I solidified it.
All right. I'm cool with a 6.
Okay.
9.2 was where my heart lies.
I am excited for when we get to the end of this marathon and Micah looks back at his 9.2 and cries.
And Ben looks back at his 9 and cries?
No, I think Ben's more locked in than you are right now.
I am very locked in. I was going to do an 8.9.
Like, I'm confident Ben's a 9. I think something swayed you with your 9.2. There are some nefarious
things. You know what swayed him with his
9.2?
Watching Attack of the Clones.
That's right. Yeah, and how peak the movie is.
And how peak it is.
And how peak next week's movie is.
Oh, man.
Attack of the Clones.
I think we look for different things when we approach these. And
yeah, and that's perfect.
You guys get what you want. I don't get what I want.
Yeah, I get what I want every week.
Yeah,
The art of film is in and of itself is subjective. It is subjective. Many people are going to like something. We have it with Punisher, man. I gave Punisher an 8. These guys didn't like that.
I really hated
that podcast. I really understand where you're at because I hated that podcast. I was trying to sit there and defend my enjoyment from Punisher.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys really?
Remember, the internet's on your side, Ethan. No. We are the ones that are different.
Don't put the internet with me. Like, come on.
Ooh, you're with those internet people.
This list is against the internet. Okay.
It is.
All right. Did we read our full ranking, Micah?
I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead. Do it. Just for the listeners at home who've trekked through this long podcast.
So we have Empire Strikes Back at a 9.6, A New Hope at a 9.4. Return of the Jedi at a 9.06. We have Attack of the Clones at an 8.06. That's fourth place. Phantom Menace at fifth place, 8 out of 10. Ewoks Battle for Endor, 3.6. Caravan of Courage, 2.4. Holiday Special, 0.5. I still have not seen it.
You'll get there one day.
I will get there.
You'll get there one day.
Maybe this week, or maybe next week when there's Clone Wars movie.
Guys, I like the Holiday Special.
Guys, I didn't know that there was such peak cinema.
I'm waiting for that one. But there you have it, folks.
Hopefully, we can fill out some of those sevens and sixes and fives and in some of these sequel movies. We'll see some of the Star Wars stories.
Attack of the Clones is fourth. I didn't think that was going to happen.
For me. I never thought I would like this movie, but here we are.
But it's up there.
Watching it with fresh eyes.
And I'm really interested to see where next week's film lies.
I'm not ready. I'm scared. Revenge of the Sith. I'm scared for next week. Y'all both knocked on door for 9 with this. With this.
Well, I think you know where I know
where you sit.
I think you know where I lie with Revenge.
Guys, I like Revenge of the Sith. I do. But I'm not ready for how much you two are going to like it.
Well,
I'm
listen, not. Okay? We're watching these movies. And then we get to the sequel films, so you're gonna hear some negative things. All right, just you wait and see.
I'm just waiting for that moment. Once we get out of the prequels, you know,
Ethan's not having a good time in the prequels.
God, impossible not to have a good time with.
I'm excited to review Solo again. I haven't seen Solo since Laundry Day.
It's gonna be a good one. But stay tuned next week for Revenge of the Sith. We thank you guys for sticking around this another incredibly long podcast of our dissection and review.
You know what? We only get one.
I was hoping this one would be shorter, but we couldn't do it.
I've got a lot to say about these prequel movies.
I had to make sure I said my case.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. We appreciate you guys sticking around for these ones. I know these ones are a bit longer, but we've got a lot to say about Star Wars. I know I certainly have a lot to say about next week, Revenge of the Sith. That is for sure. So stay tuned for that. Watch Revenge of the Sith this week. And for now, this is Ben Rayside.
This is Ethan.
This is Micah.
And remember,
the Force will be with you.
To across the stars and beyond.